reassurance, I found myself listening to some Christian hymns on the radio. Before I knew it, I was on the brink of tears when that age-old Christian hymn, "As Well With My Soul," began to play. For some reason, as that song played on, all I could think was that it was not well with my soul. I asked God, how could it be well with my soul at all? God, how could it be well with my soul when things like this keep happening? How can it be well with my soul when your nations of your world, God, are on the brink of warfare? How can it be well with my soul when our brothers and sisters around the world are still being persecuted, are still being victims of racism, violence, and hatred? It's like the words that Dr. Martin Luther King spoke in his last Christmas Eve sermon. The human race finds itself rather bewildered. We no longer have peace within or peace without. And it begs the question, what are we to do? How are we to get the world back on track? But again, my friends, there has been hope. Even in the midst of tragedy, I have seen hope in our fellow human beings. My heart has been warmed by the many stories of bravery that have surfaced as we learn more about those tragic events. The bravery that individuals have exhibited as they put their lives before others to save their fellow humans. My heart has been raised up at the fact that for the first time in a very long time, it seems as though lawmakers on both sides of the political spectrum are beginning to agree on something. And even though it's a small something, and God knows there's a lot more work to be done, at least it's a start. Perhaps a start for something bigger and better yet to come. My heart has been warmed with the many stories of our professional athletes and pop stars and movie stars who are banding together not only to raise support for Las Vegas, but for the countries who have been affected by those natural disasters that keep us week after week. Even our own Washington National, Bryce Harper, is raising support. If you watch the playoff games this weekend, you've noticed that he wore a special pair of cleats dedicated to his own hometown. So, my friends, my hope has been raised, but it hasn't been raised enough. These things are good, but they're not good enough. They've all forgotten one important thing. And that thing is God. what it's truly like to love thy God and to love thy neighbor, to live out God's wonderful and simple plan. They also tell us something more. Something else that the world has seemed to forget, forgotten. They tell us that the human life is precious and beautiful. Even in all of our mistakes, even in all of our ambiguity, even in all of our brokenness, God's commandments tell us that because we are made in the image of God, the human life is worthy of ultimate truth and honor and dignity and respect. And what is more, the commandments tell us that the human life is to be honored as an ends rather than as a means. And once we realize this, once the world realizes this, my friends, the world becomes a much better place. And that saying from our baptismal covenant, respect the dignity of every human being, is no longer something that we say here in the church, but it's said by everybody throughout the world. It's so beautiful, so amazing. But if you're like me, you need more. You've heard the plan, you've seen what's in the plan, but you're a visual learner, so you need an example of what it's like to live this life. If you don't know where I'm going, I'll tell you that our example, my friends, is Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You've heard me say it before, and you've heard Reverend Hillary say it before, but it's worth repeating over and over again. It's worth carrying on our hearts day in and day out. In Christ Jesus, we have the perfect example for what it's like to live with God's plan, for what it's like to love thy God, for what it's like to love thy neighbor. That's what we're called to do. Our scripture readings, the last two readings, the epistle and the gospel, speak to this again perfectly. If you'll recall, over the last few weeks, we've been hearing that story from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. And it's more of the same, but when the same thing keeps creeping up in Scripture, it's worth paying attention to. And Paul is trying to figure out what it means to live as a Christian, what it means to live into the Christian life. Ultimately, Paul decides that for him, he needs to live like Christ, live into Christ. If he's to call himself a Christian, we are to call ourselves a Christian. We are to live like Christ lived. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus, Paul tells us at the end of our reading this morning. My friends, we're called to press on for that prize, for that heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus as well, to live in Christ and through Christ and with Christ. Our gospel reading this morning sums up everything we've talked about so far. And while it might seem like it's just another one of Jesus' undecipherable parables, it really is more. It speaks to what God's plan really is, and it speaks to what it looks like when it's lived out. See, because if we live loving thy God and loving thy neighbor, the parable tells us that we will produce the fruits of the kingdom of God. It thus begs the question of us, what kind of vine keeper will we be? How will we maintain our vineyard? Will we be the kind of vine keeper that lets the weeds choke out the vines, such that the fruits become bad? Or will we be the kind of vine keeper that keeps the garden and the vineyard free of weeds, such that the vines can grow abundantly and the fruits of the kingdom of God can be healthy and beautiful and precious in here and now? My friends, God's plan is simple. And it's beautiful and it's amazing. And what is more, we have all we need from God to live out the plan. Further, we just need to open our hearts to the plan, because if we do, God promises never to let us go. That is the beauty of living in covenant with God. That is the beauty of the wonderful.